You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll look back at the history of the modern Olympic Games.
Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's executive producer Erica Janik.
When was the last time you wrote a letter? Patty C's mother made her write letters to her older sisters every week. It's that training that made her the writer she is today.
When I'm asked to do a craft talk in which I share with students or writers in training how and why I write, I sometimes say something smart-alecky. I'm a small-town gal with a poet's eye for details and a barfly's affinity for telling a good story. That may be true, but so is what I recently told a small crowd at a Chippewa Valley Writers Guild event. I am a writer because of my mother, who made me sit at the kitchen table and write letters with her at least once a week. As soon as I knew the alphabet, I wrote to my older sisters, who left home before I started kindergarten. This early training helped me see the story in my life, even at 6 years old. A lesson every writer needs is that this place is worthy of recording. For the last 4 years of Mom's life, she didn't recognize any of her 8 children or 16 grandchildren. Alzheimer's stole her memory and eventually her voice. The week before Mom died, my older sister Julie came home to say goodbye and brought along a small bag of letters Mom and I wrote to her beginning in 1972 when she graduated high school and moved away. Sometimes the universe gives us just what we need at exactly the right time. After Julie left, I spent hours next to Mom's deathbed reading these relics. The funniest parts I read out loud to her, though we could only communicate with touch. I massaged Mom's arms and legs, and she sometimes let out a slight groan. What a gift to see Mom's handwriting again, loopy but perfect cursive she learned from nuns at St. Killian's before she left school in 8th grade to help on the family farm. She wrote like she spoke, and though she lay before me, unable to move or even open her eyes anymore, in these letters I could hear her voice. An unexpected treasure. In one letter, she wrote, "Jackie baked me an orange chiffon cake from Betty Crocker cookbook. It smells good. Wished you could be here to harmonize in the happy birthday song. We still close the drapes, put out the lights, light the candles, and sing." Active voice, concrete details. Her letters are a lesson in writing. Mom also wrote about the mundane, signing me up for swimming lessons even though I already knew how to swim, or driving with Dad to my brother's away football games so she could be there if he got hurt. Mom loved to write, and she loved her kids. Both are evident from these letters written decades ago. The day Mom died, I opened a letter I'd sent to Julie when I was 7 years old. "Guess what?" I said in my first line of big blocky printing. "Ann Landers got divorced and Cher got married." I imagine Mom read the newspaper before we gathered at the kitchen table with our stationery and pens, and she shared with me these celebrity tidbits, pretty risque for 1975. All these years later, I can still hear my mother. "Write that down," she surely said to me. "Julie will get a kick out of this news."
Patty C. is a writer in Lake Halley. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life on our website, wisconsinlife.org, and on Facebook. I'm Erica Janik.
And continuing with dotting our I's and crossing our T's, our next guest echoes that call to take up pen and paper and start writing letters again.
Simon Garfield is the author of many books, including To the Letter, a celebration of the lost art of letter writing. Simon, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Really nice to be with you.
So you've tackled subjects near and dear to my heart. Recent books, I talked to you about maps a while back, fonts. Now you've done it again with letter writing. What got you started on thinking about letters?
Well, it's an odd thing, really, because you mentioned the other two books, and it does form the final book in a sort of accidental trilogy, in a way. So all these books are concerned things that have been radically shaken up by the digital age. You know, typefaces, obviously, maps as well, and now letters. But I think this is the only one without a happy ending for me, anyway. It was really sparked when I read that more and more people were sending condolence letters, you know, notes of sympathy by email and text as well. I haven't heard of one by tweet, but that's probably just around the corner. And I thought, okay, well, you know, if you're sending condolence letters by text, then we've reached a pretty path, and it's probably time to kind of look back at and celebrate great letters and great letter writers, but also to question, well, are we really happy to abandon, you know, this great thing we've been communicating by letter for 2,000 years, and we're about to kind of throw it away without, I imagine, much, you know, too much thought, really. It's just, it happened. It began, as we know, probably with the telephone, gradually, and then, especially over the last 10, 15 years or so, when obviously everyone's on email, we find that no one writes letters anymore. And the book really, you know, is concerned with how we're going to document our future history without letters.
And you're unabashedly pro-letter. You even write about loving the smell of them and the feel of them and the sort of whoosh
well,
that they make.
I mean, you make me sound very
romantic,
obsessional, Veronica. And that's not the idea. But no, I certainly love the feel of them, and I think that's something that we're sort of already beginning to miss, you know. I don't want to sound at all that I'm anti-email or text, and I kind of tweet as well, and obviously I use email as much as anyone else, and I couldn't have written the book if I interview a lot of people. I couldn't have contacted them so, you know, efficiently and quickly without email. So I'm not anti that at all. I'm just aware that we have a lot to lose. And,
let's talk about that. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of convenience when we use email and text, but what do we lose when we give up the letter?
Well, I think we lose a certain depth of writing, and I don't think we write with the same sort of emotion as we do when we send emails. You know, even before, you know, the Edward Snowden news and the NSA and before it was clear that, you know, more people than just the recipient were reading our emails, I kind of felt uneasy about sort of, you know, expressing any great emotion or intimacy on a keyboard. There was just something kind of not quite right about it for me. So I think we don't write the same way. We also kind of, I think we write letters in a more thoughtful way. It's more of an effort and more of a process. You know, we sit down, we have an envelope ready, hopefully a postage stamp at the ready, and we think about things in a kind of longer form, you know, so not just instant responses as we would do, you know, in the digital way, but we would try and analyze things. Maybe we'll condense a week's news into a letter, a couple of weeks' news, and obviously the personal touch as well, you know, the handwriting and the kind of crossings out, all that character, I was going to say gradually beginning to lose, but I think we're losing it very fast.
Someone I know is part of your research. You read lots of letters through the ages, and you came across some ones that were pretty special and stood out. Could you tell us about some of your favorite letters and letter writers?
Well, gosh, I mean, you know, a huge list. We could be here till Friday, but I think the first one that I think is extraordinary, the earliest one that I think is extraordinary, is a letter that Pliny the Elder wrote. Pliny the Younger wrote about the eruption of Vesuvius, and it's the only written account that we have of the eruption, and obviously fantastically you know, important event. And without that letter, we wouldn't have any details at all. And then, I don't know, you know, we jump 1,800 years or so, and I love John Keats's letters. As you might expect from a poet, he wrote in a very lyrical way, often wrote about his poetry, about his thoughts about the world, and, you know, as we know, died fantastically young, so there's an extra kind of pathos when he's writing to his, you know, his girlfriend Fanny Braun from Italy. He's gone to Italy because he's dying, and he's been advised by doctors that you know that's the best chance for him in the Italian air, and he writes, you know, extraordinary things. But I think my favourite set is a correspondence between two unknown people. I was very lucky to find this not long actually before I was due to hand the book in. A wonderful correspondence during the Second World War between a postman stationed in Greece and North Africa and his a friend of his in London as the bombs were about to fall. And the friend he writes to, and he writes just because he's bored, really on the off chance, he knew a little bit through work, but through their letters they fall in love. And it's a fantastic thing. So I thread the letters through the book, and it's a fantastic thing to read. And then it has a happy ending, and we know this because the letters were obtained from their two children. So an extraordinary thing, and I think it emphasizes the fact that letters are so much part of, you know, ordinary people's lives as well as obviously well-known people's lives as well.
What is your, you know, in our last minute or so here, what is the most beautiful letter that you've ever gotten?
Oh, gosh, I'm going to appear a bit slushy on you now, but, I, you know, inevitably that would be a letter I received from my wife. And, you know, I think, you know, hopefully, you know, the majority, if not all, of your listeners will kind of think back to, you know, an early relationship or an important relationship and think about the mail they've received, you know, in those early days and hopefully still, you know, still have those letters as well.
All right. Well, Simon, thank you so much for being on and talking about letters with us today.
Well, I really enjoyed talking with you.
That was Simon Garfield, author of To the Letter, A Celebration of the Lost Art of Letter Writing. And we've been talking about the importance of writing letters in a digital world.
Coming up, we'll look back at the highs and lows of the modern Olympic Games. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You might like to see that they're all addressed to me. I wish I had a lot of answers. That's the way it should be. But all these questions be directed at me. I just can't find the time to write my mind the way I wanted to read.